I invite you to take your Bible, and I hope you have your Bible with you today, God's Holy Word. And we'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin reading with verse 26. Ephesians 4 and verse 26. I'm speaking on the subject this morning of tearing down the stronghold of bitterness. Tearing down the stronghold of bitterness. Anger and bitterness is a common problem among God's people. Some folks do not get saved because of their anger and their bitterness toward God for whatever reason it may be. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 26, the Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place," notice those two words, give place, "neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." You understand, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you and he's a person. And if you're saved today, he lives in you. "Grieve not," do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, "whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." How do we grieve him? Well, verse 31, in the context, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor," that's talking about it, "and evil speaking," talking to other folks about it and talking to each other about it and friends and relatives, "but put away," that's a choice, "put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another." Amen? "Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And may the Holy Spirit add his blessing upon the reading of the Word of God. Bitterness and anger can get a stronghold in the heart and mind of an individual. We have a toehold, that's just a little bit. Then we have a foothold, that's sort of getting the foot in the door, like a salesman trying to sell you a vacuum cleaner. And if you do that, I'm not putting you down, that's your job. But then there's a stronghold, that's when we allow Satan to really take over and get in. And we cooperate with him, and primarily it is in our souls where it happens. That is our mind, our will, our emotions, we say our heart. And bitterness and anger get in our minds and souls and in our hearts. And it is from that position, when the devil gets in there with that, that he has a stronghold. And what is a stronghold used for? To battle your battle, to defeat Christians, to defeat people. First, there's the stronghold, and then from that stronghold goes out the winning of those battles against God's people. And some of those things Satan begins to use to torment us in our lives because he has a stronghold in our lives. What are some of those tormenting things? Fear. It always comes with it. There's some kind of fear that is there because of bitterness and because Satan has a stronghold in our lives. Anger is part of it. That can come in. Worry is another one that comes in there because Satan has a stronghold in our mind, in our soul, in our heart, as we would call it. And so he works from there to present some of these problems. Now, what we've got to learn to do as believers is tear down the strongholds. That's what God tells us to do. Tear down the strongholds. Now here's one of the problems when Satan gets that stronghold. It is the problem of bitterness. Bitterness. There are believers and non-believers, as I've said, alike, that get angry, get bitter. Friend, let me tell you something. Bitterness, listen to me now, bitterness will defile your soul.
Amen. Right.
It's poison.
Amen.
Bitterness will defile your heart. It will defile your spirit. And it's going to happen if we allow Satan to get that stronghold. Listen to the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 4. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It reaches the soul and the spirit, basically two different things. We have a body, soul, and spirit, but it reaches down into the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He's talking about this thing getting down into your soul, down into your heart. Hebrews 12, fall of peace, the Bible commands us. You understand that's a command? That's not a suggestion. That's a divine imperative from Almighty God for every born-again believer. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Watch it, listen. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Because of the root of bitterness in a believer's life, or a non-believer's life, it is poison and it defiles other people. It defiles other people when we give place to the devil. And that's what happens. Bitterness decreases that in our lives. Bitterness decreases our souls. Psalm 106:15, and he gave them their request. He let them have their request, but sent leanness into their soul. God will allow you to get angry and bitter if that's what you want to do. That's your request and your choice, but the result will be leanness in your soul. Now, what's the solution? The solution to it is found in Psalm 23:3. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. The answer is to have your soul, your heart, your emotions restored by God in that particular matter. And whether it's a desire or whether it's an emotion or whatever it may be, it's in the mind, and that's where it needs to be restored. What does bitterness do? It gives place to the devil. How many of us, if I walked up to you individually and said, do you want to give the devil room in your life? Do you want to give him a room in your heart? Do you want him to give him place in your life? How many of you would say, well, sure I do. Of course I do. And yet we do that. Listen to what he says. And he says it in verse 27. Neither, in our text, neither give place to the devil. We give it to him. We say, come on in. And work from here, and work what you've got to work out. As you work it out, I'm going to give you the place. I'm going to give you the stronghold. I'm going to let it happen in my heart. I'm going to let it happen in my mind. Place. The word place really means an area of legal control. Give him an area of legal control. Give him a place in our heart. In other words, a space to work from. I saw a church yesterday. We were out, and the church had an annex, and on the annex, it had a little sign, office space for rent. Well, I thought that was a little strange. They must be having hardship, but they're going to rent out part of their office space, but they're going to give place to somebody in that building. We do the same thing when we get angry and bitter and don't get it right with God. We give place to the devil in our heart. Or we wouldn't get drunk, and we wouldn't take drugs, and we wouldn't commit adultery. We just get mean as the devil in our heart. And it's all sin, friend. Don't ever think it isn't. It is all sin, and God looks at it the very same way. It is sin. And so Satan operates from there. What does he do? He torments our soul. He works in our heart. And then we begin to make wrong decisions. We begin to be afraid. We begin to be angry. We begin to be depressed. We begin to be worried. We begin to reject people. And sometimes we even reject God. because Satan gets a place to work from in our hearts, a stronghold. Now let me give you just very quickly some examples of strongholds, some very quick examples of it, so that you'll know a little bit better what we're talking about. Here's something you would hear somebody say: the person who offended me will never change. I guarantee you there's some people in this building right now who have thought those words or words very similar to it and are still thinking them. The person who offended me will never change, and I'm never going to forgive him or forgive her. They'll never change, so I'm not going to forgive them. My offender will never change. Now, I want you to know that that is a false conclusion. That is not a biblical conclusion. That is not what the Bible teaches. I can tell you what it causes. When we get that attitude, my offender will never change, it causes divorce. Boy, this is a quiet message, very reverent message today. It causes divorce. My offender will never change, and so I'm just going to divorce. And I'm not, again, putting anybody down who's had the unfortunate experience of divorce, especially if it was not your fault and you did all you could. But I'm still telling you that that's how it happened. Satan got a stronghold in somebody's heart because God's against it. And when Satan gets a stronghold, he works from that. And the end result is a false conclusion. They will never change. Friend, are you telling me Jesus can't change somebody? He can. It may not be in your time frame, but he can. You say, well, I didn't know he was like that when I married him. Well, you're the dummy that married him. Amen? Or her. Now you want to change him a week later. Change him. Change her. It'll also call children, listen, young people, it will cause you to rebel against your parents. My mom and daddy are never going to change, so I'll just rebel against them. Oh, how wrong that is. If you have the right attitude, you're going to respect your mother and daddy. Get on your knees and pray. And if they need to be changed, you give God time to change them. But it's not your job to get bitter and angry against your mother and dad. That's a stronghold of the devil. Employees, the same way. They get mad and say things will never change, and they quit a good job, and then they regret it for a long time. They get mad because they feel like they're not getting their deserves. Well, you leave that in God's hand and pray and leave it in his hands. And don't get angry and don't get bitter, because it's going to cause you to do some crazy things that you shouldn't do. The same thing happens in Satan gets a stronghold, and it causes church division and church factions. Where does that come from? It comes from the devil. Who do we blame? The devil. That's where it comes from. Church factions. Jeremiah 32:27. Jeremiah said, behold, or the Lord said through him, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Friend, there's nothing too hard but what God can take it and change it according to his will and his time, if we'll wait on God's timing and wait on God to work it out. We don't need to take matters into our own hands. I know a church that divided back in Indiana, a big church, and one reason they divided was one of the deacons stood up in a meeting while the others were saying, let's wait on God, and he said, we've waited on God long enough, it's time for us to do something. And he did it and split the church, a great church right in the middle. We don't need that in our churches. We don't need that anywhere. It doesn't bring any glory to God. Now, some of you are getting nervous, and you're thinking we're sitting on the edge of a church division or church split, and you're wondering what's wrong. I'm just preaching the message that God laid on my heart, folks. That's it. That's it. Nobody called me out and chewed me out last week. Nobody put me in my place last week. I'm not trying to get even with anybody. I'm just preaching what God laid on my heart today. Now, you go ahead and judge if you want to, but that's between you and God, and it's between me and God. False conclusion. Wives, they can change. Sometimes you need to change. You know, sometimes we're praying God change her or him, and we need to be praying God change me. God change my heart. God, some of you wives need to pray this: God, give me a meek and tender and sweet spirit. Because the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:1-2, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. That's where the problem lies with some women. They don't like the Bible. They don't like what God has said. And friends, it'll only work the way God set it up. I don't care what political correctness says, it'll only work the way the Bible has set it up. That's the only way it's going to work. Likewise, your wives be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word. Don't be preaching to them all the time. Be won by the lifestyle, the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Blessed are the poor in spirit. But husbands, sometimes it's you. You're praying, oh God, change my wife, oh God, change my wife. And God's saying, why don't you be quiet a minute and let me change you? You need to have the kind of love God has. In Ephesians 5:25, Jesus said, husbands, love your wives. Agape love. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He didn't say love your wife if she does everything you want her to do, or if she's perfect all the time, or if she never burns the toast, or never overcooks the chicken, or never gets the meal wrong, or anything else. That's not what he said. He said, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I'm part of the church. Am I perfect? No. Does God love me? Yes. Does he forgive me? Yes. Do we have an ongoing relationship ever since I've been 9 years old and got saved at a little country church? Absolutely, he still loves me. And I promise you, I haven't always done what's right. But he still loves me. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Don't be nitpicking and don't fail to forgive her if she's failed you. Don't be bringing it up every time you get into an argument. Bring up the trash. Bring up the junk from the past. Forgive. You say, well, I can't forget it. Okay, you can't forget it, but you don't have to bring it up and hold it against somebody. Forgive, the Bible says. That'll help your marriage. My offender will never change. They can change. And then we say, well, I've got to punish my offender. That's the second thing. I've got to get even. I don't get mad, preacher. I just get even. Still quiet, isn't it? I don't get mad. I just get even. I've got to punish my offender. By the way, if you're the offender or the offendee or whichever the legalese may be, it works in both directions. You say, well, they offended me and they didn't. Well, maybe so, but you need to forgive them too, just as much as you want them to forgive you for whatever you did that offended them. It works in both directions. So Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. I want to tell you, sometimes some Baptists need to lay their tongues on the altar. That could present a problem. As one preacher, one woman came one day and said, preacher, I want to lay my tongue on the altar. He said, we can't do it today. It's not long enough. We've got to add a little bit to it. And that could have been a man. Amen. It could have been a man. Some people think they're God's call gift to straighten everybody out. Friend, it's not your call gift to go around straightening everybody out. You let God straighten them out. You keep your place and let God straighten them out. And some of you men need to talk to your wives and remind them of that. That is not their place. And do it the biblical way. And go according to the Word of God. Now, when we try to get even, what happens? Well, we just try to get even. You know what happens when we do that? We miss the blessing that God has for us. What is that? Those who conquer by love, friend, are blessed. They are blessed. They are richly blessed. Magnificently, wonderfully blessed. Why? Because they conquer by love. But if we want to get even and we don't do that, it brings destruction. It brings health problems. You stay bitter and angry and you're going to have some health problems. It's been proven over and over. Read the book, None of These Diseases, and you'll find out why some Baptists are sick. Not all are sick because of that, but some are sick because they're angry and bitter. It's going to have an impact on your body sooner or later. You say, well, I chewed them out and I didn't feel sick on the spot. Listen, are you kidding? Do you think God works that fast always? His millstones grow solidly and slowly sometimes, but I guarantee you they do continue to work. It brings destruction, health, attitudes, destroys relationships that should not be destroyed. When we try to get even, Here's what we do. We turn over ourselves to the tormentors. We do that. Turn to Matthew 18, please, just a second. Matthew 18. Verse 23. Verse 23 says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made." That's pretty severe, isn't it? He said, you owe me $10,000. I can't pay it. I don't have a dime. Well, you're going to have to sell your children and your wife. "For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to do that." Verse 26, "The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him." Boy, he changed his attitude, saying, "Lord, have patience," not grace, "but have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. That's how we know he was a Methodist, not a Baptist. "And loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, not nearly as much, like a buck compared to 10,000. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt." Boy, you talk about a first-class hypocrite. Amen? Somebody say amen once in a while. I'm getting nervous. Not really. "So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him," and notice he's talking about Lord. I think that'll ring in our, reverberate in our soul. "Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me," you asked me to do it, "shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" Boy, you talk about a good question for Christians to consider. "And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors." You get it? "Delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him," till he got his heart right and did right. "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Friend, if you're not willing to forgive people, you're going to face the tormentors. I don't care who it is in your past that has hurt you, you're going to face the tormentors. The tormentors cause pain, they cause anguish, they cause toil in the flesh, they cause vexation of spirit, all of those things. That one asked for patience, not mercy, should have asked for mercy. But in verse 26, there he is really, I think, at a point where he should have realized mercy was all that was going to help him. And that's what we need, is mercy. He had to ask for mercy. That's what he needed. After he experienced mercy, then he could be merciful. And friend, if you've experienced the mercy of God, it shouldn't be too hard for you or me to be merciful. Merciful. Not mean-spirited. Not hateful and cruel toward people. Not just within our church, but within society as a whole. Now, what are some of the steps of action we need to take? Number one, we need to absolutely confess bitterness as a sin. I've known people who've gotten bitter at God. God, why did you take my business away from me? I was tithing, I was giving, I was serving you, and you let my business collapse, you took it away from me, and I'm mad at you, and they leave God and don't even come to church and quit serving God. You watch them, friend. You watch them over the period of years. They will go down maybe as slow as the Titanic, but they're going to go down. I'm telling you, they're going to go down. Things aren't going to work out for them. They're going to be miserable. They're not going to have a happy life. It is not going to happen. So admit it as a sin. Number two, don't excuse it. Don't excuse it. We talk to somebody that's an alcoholic or a drunkard, the Bible says, and we talk to them and say, you need to quit that. You don't need to touch any more liquor whatsoever. And the Christian needs to have total abstinence. Amen. Maybe get a little amen there. But a Christian ought to have total abstinence, ought to practice that. And we talk to them and they say, well, I just can't help myself. I just can't help getting back on drugs. I just can't help drinking again. Friend, that's a lie. And we say to them, yes, you can. And they say, well, you just don't know. My mama gave me a whipping when I was 4 years old, and I've been warped ever since. Therefore, that's why I keep going back to the bottle. Because she whipped me too hard and ruined me, bent my personality. Some kids need their personality bent. And so they blame it on everything else. Don't redefine it. Oh, preacher, I'm not bitter, but I was just hurt. Build a bridge and get over it. I was just hurt. Well, we do get hurt sometimes, but we gotta get over that. 1 John 2:9, he that saith he is in the light, listen to the word of God. You say, well, that's just the ravings of a Baptist preacher. No, I'm quoting the scripture. 1 John 2:9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Darkness. Whose realm is darkness? Jesus or the devil? You tell me. It's the devil's realm. Whose realm is darkness? And so when we hate or anything like that, that's in that category we're pursuing with hatred, we detest somebody, we can't stand somebody, we won't forgive somebody, we're walking in darkness. We're not walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ. So admit it as a sin. Confess it as a sin. Next, ask God to regain the surrendered ground. Because you surrendered it, you got to get it back. Yes. Ask God to regain the surrendered ground. You're still angry. You could kill your former mate because of what he did to you, or your former wife, what she did to you, or what God did when he took your children, allowed them to die, or whatever happened, some tragedy in your life. I'm just naming some things I've heard over the years that people have said. My dear friend, listen. You need to ask God to help you regain that territory you have by choice gone against the Word of God and surrendered to Him that territory. And you need to go to God and ask God to forgive you and to regain that territory. Again, the psalmist said, restore my what? Soul. The Lord is my shepherd. We're already saved. He's not talking about getting saved. The Lord is my shepherd. And he restores my soul because my soul's got a stronghold and it doesn't belong there. And I need to get rid of it. I need to get rid of it. And so restoreth literally means, if you take the Hebrew word, it simply and literally means return to the starting point. Go back to where you were. Go back to the place where there was that kindness and that love, and tear down the strongholds. How, preacher? With truth. The best way to tear down a stronghold is with truth. Truth. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Did you get that, Baptist? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. How are we going to do it? Through God. Mighty through God to the pulling down, pulling down of strongholds. I'm telling you, there's some strongholds. May not be this one. It is in the lives of a lot of people. I guarantee you that are sitting here today, this is a stronghold, or there's some other stronghold. How are you going to get it down? You tear it down through the Word of God, mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds. The warfare is not carnal. What's carnality? Bitter retaliation. That is carnal. That is not Christ-like. That is just like unsaved people. In fact, some unsaved people treat each other a whole lot better than some Baptists treat each other, and Christians. That is not it. So how do we do that? We go to the Scripture. We stay in the Word. We read the Word. We memorize the Word. We meditate on it. And when God says things like I've quoted to you today and you're reading those, you think about it enough that it begins to percolate in your spirit and it does something to you and changes your heart and you say, I'm tearing down that stronghold. I'm getting rid of it today. I want to tear it down because that's what God says. What else do we do? Well, we're supposed to show mercy by forgiving our offender. Show mercy by forgiving our offender. Again, in Ephesians 4:31, let all... Now, folks, this is God's demand, His divine imperative. Let all bitterness... Are you angry at your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, or former mate, or somebody at work? I don't know. Somebody in the church? I don't know. Somebody on staff? I don't know. Somebody on the deacon board? I don't know. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. There it is. How plain can it be? Put it away. Let it be put away. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And friend, He will forgive you if you haven't received that forgiveness. For Christ's sake, He'll save your soul, forgive you of all of your sin. Doesn't matter what you have done in the past. If you'll bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ, I can tell you, for Christ's sake, He will forgive you of your sins today. Trust Him as your Savior. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. We'll have our invitation. And here is our invitation. Number one, if you're here and you're not sure you're going to heaven, but you want to go and the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart about it, you really want to know you're ready to meet God. Friend, for Christ's sake, God will forgive you today. And He says all you have to do is come and ask Him. Believe that you're a sinner. Be willing to turn from your sin. Turn to Jesus Christ who took your place as your substitute on the cross. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done. We're going to get to heaven, friend, by the keeping of the deeds of the law. Nobody's going to be justified. It's what Christ has done for you. It is done. It's a done deal. You just come and receive the gift of eternal life. And then there's some who have allowed bitterness and anger to get a stronghold in your life. You need to do what God says about it today. And some, it's something else. There's another stronghold. Wasn't that? But you know what the Spirit of God told you is your stronghold. It may be pornography. It may be pride. It may be materialism. But it's a stronghold. And you've given place. You've given legal authority for the devil to run your life through that stronghold. Come and ask Him to forgive you today. Father, thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy and Your love. And I pray that we would have a Christ-like, forgiving heart and spirit toward those who may disagree with us or offend us. And God, I pray that that would be true in our lives as believers. I pray that unsaved people here today would recognize that You want to forgive them of their transgressions against You, and You're ready and willing. But we who are saved, help us to forgive others, even as You, for Christ's sake, have forgiven us. We owed a great debt, and You said, I'll forgive it. And yet we turn around and demand the same thing out of others without mercy. God, forgive us and help us. Help us to have a church like the first century church, who when they started out were in one accord, and they turned the world upside down. Help us now in Jesus' name.